Let's pray together. Father and our God, we thank you for the change in season, like Kayla just shared the children's story. And we're now shifting from spring into summer gear. As a matter of fact, it felt like we came from winter to summer. Well, we thank you anyhow, Lord, because you are in charge of the seasons and the times, the days, the months, the year. We thank you for your word that is timeless. Father, it marvels me that Moses could have written this Exodus or take this writing from you. I mean, 3,500 years ago, and the truth is still the truth today. Speak to us from your word and give us joy in our hearts. Give us your grace and power and loving obedience. And may we follow you in all truth. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. May we love you in return. Speak to us now from your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Our sermon title today is Remember the Sabbath Day to Keep It Holy. Amen. That's a whole verse of scripture, Exodus 20 and verse 8. Now, if I was to tell you about America's birthday, when this nation was birthed, what date of what month comes to your mind? 4th of July, right? That's America's birthday, 4th of July. And of course, you know, 1776 was the Declaration of Independence, 4th of July. Now, can anyone just get up and casually change America's birthday? You know, Jim, if I feel like, oh, it's September 1. I mean, would I be right? I would not be right. All right, that's America's birthday. So can we change America's birthday? No, we can't change it. It's already established. How about your birth date? Can I just tell you, Terry, that, hey, you know what? You're July 1st. That's it. Doesn't matter what your certificate says, what anyone says, you're July 1st. Can I just get up and do that? No, I don't have the right to do that. Well, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Can we just get up and call any day the Sabbath? It could be Sunday, could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it could be Saturday too. You know, I have in my Bible, I have in my hand, my Bible, and I have in this hand. Anybody can recognize this book? Yeah? Anyone can recognize this book? Yeah. Bill says it's an Ellen White book. It is. This one is actually Testimonies for the Church. What volume is this one, Earl?
Six.
Oh, volume six. So this is Testimonies to the Church, volume six. So the Bible in one hand and the Spirit of Prophecy in the next. Do you think I can go wrong?
No.
Only my interpretation, right? But the Bible is the inspired word of God. And I like the humility of Ellen White. She says her writings are the lesser light to the Bible. Lesser light. Still inspired by God, but the lesser light. Do you know that I've been reading the writings of the Bible for 22 years now? And I have never found error in the Bible. 22 years. I thought one, at least, well, early saying amen. But I just think his is not. I've been reading God's Bible for 22 years and I've never found error in God's Bible. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. I've been reading Ellen White for 22 years and I've never found error in Ellen White. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. So we have God's inspiration. And if we take God at his word, we will know truth for ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
The world, I mean, surprisingly, still debates which day is God's Sabbath. But that's not debatable. If you're going to be true to the scriptures, there's no debate. The debate is over. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So Exodus 20 and verse 8 tells us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first point I want to bring to your attention today is that the Sabbath
is a memorial of creation and also a sign of redemption. Amen? So the Sabbath is one, a memorial of creation and also a what? A sign of redemption that we have been redeemed by Christ. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Genesis, Exodus. Second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 31, and we'll see what God's word says here. I will begin in verse 12. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, who spoke? The Lord. Who did he speak to? Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Speak to the church. Speak to Elmira, saying, surely my Sabbaths, and I want to emphasize that that one there is plural. My Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. By the way, how many Sabbaths are there in the Bible? All right, now, Sabbath keepers. How many Sabbaths are there in the Bible? One person says one. Well, here it says, surely my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep. How many Sabbaths are in the Bible? Sharon says, remember there are the ceremonial Sabbaths, and it's a good clue right there. How many of them are there? I heard a number. No, it's not three or four. I heard a number. Abigail is correct. Seven. You can read Leviticus chapter 23 in your own timing. We're not going to read 23 today. But there are seven ceremonial Sabbaths, as Sharon is calling them. And they are there. They're all there in Leviticus chapter 23. Right? Seven ceremonial Sabbaths. They're all there. So outside of these seven, though, or besides these seven, there was God's weekly one seventh-day Sabbath. For example, in Old Testament times, there was no issue whether the Sabbath was Saturday or Sunday. That's something that came later on. But never in Old Testament Israel was there any debate which day was God's Sabbath. It was always known. And so there were the seven Sabbaths that are mentioned there in Leviticus 23. Right? Each of the feasts, they were celebrated as a Sabbath, but not the Sabbath. Right? They were celebrated as a Sabbath. These festivals. And so the seventh-day Sabbath is distinguished from them. And I just wanted to point out to you that here it says, surely my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. All of the Sabbaths, all of them represented that God is the one that sanctifies us. We're building. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath. Now it gets down to the singular with the definite article. Which Sabbath you think it's talking about? No. You're correct. The seventh-day Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from his people. Cut off, another term for death, which was usually by stoning. I am glad that stoning is not around today. Otherwise, maybe all of us in here would be stoned already, you know. But by God's grace, we can keep his Sabbath holy. Amen. It says here, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh, which implies seventh day, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. The children of Elmira shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And then he gets specific in verse 17 now, speaking of it being a sign. He says, it, the seventh day Sabbath, is a sign between me and the children of Israel, between me and the covenant people, between me and God's remnant church. God is saying the Sabbath is a sign between me and my people forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested and was refreshed. Verse 18 says, and when he had made an end of speaking with him, that's with Moses, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tables of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. That's very unchangeable. When God writes, we need to pay attention. Amen? And it was written with the finger of God on tablets of stone. A very permanent thing. A sign that it was to be a perpetual sign between God and his children. The Sabbath is a sign of redemption and sanctification. The Sabbath is a memorial of God's creation. Well, that was Exodus. Let's go to another e-book in the Bible, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, we just came from Exodus. Now we are going to Ezekiel, and we're going to chapter 20 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. A very similar recording here. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, plural, to be a sign between them and me. In Exodus, it says between me and them. No, it says between them and me. But saying the same thing. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. See, the Sabbath, a sign of sanctification. It was given to God's covenant people, that God's people may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. And then if we skip down now to verse 20, 19 and 20 of the same Ezekiel 20. It says here, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes. Keep my judgments and do them. Hallow. To be made holy. Hallow my Sabbaths. And there will be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. You know, as you look at the Old Testament sanctuary services, and as you journey through the sanctuary, you realize that there is a transformational experience taking place. It's kind of like the parking lot. When one entered the courtyard of the ancient sanctuary, what happened is that the person was greeted by the altar of burnt sacrifice. And that's where the cross of Calvary came in, where Jesus died for us. Jesus is our sacrifice. Beyond, that's our justification. We are justified by the death of Jesus Christ. He died in our place. We deserve the second death, but Jesus died to take the second death away from those who trust in him. The altar of sacrifice. Then as you journeyed beyond the altar of sacrifice, there was the laver. That's where the priests washed their hands, did their ceremonial washing. And that's where they washed. When we have been justified by Christ, what we do next, when we understand it, when we appreciate it, when we repent of our sins because of his sacrifice, we get baptized. We go wash. We get baptized. And then as you journey through the sanctuary and you come to the holy place, remember there were three pieces of furniture in the holy place. Who remember what they were? On the north side, you know, you entered God's sanctuary with your back towards the sun to help to prevent sun worship. Amen. You're back towards the sun and you enter the temple. So when you bow before God, your back is always to the sun. That's how it was designed. You traveled from east to west into the sanctuary. So your back is toward the sun. And when you enter the holy place, on the sides of the north was a table of showbread. And in John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. We need to have an experience with the word of God. Amen? Personally. Then opposite the side of the showbread was what? The menorah. The golden candlestick. The seven-branched candlestick. And that is the oil in that candlestick. A little bit more oil. A little more oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. What does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. We know that. We know these symbols by now. And how about the light that was given off from those, from that lamp? It's our witness. It's our witness. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. So when we read God's word, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the way, you don't just see the oil in the lamp like that. It's back inside there. You don't see the Holy Spirit, but when he's in the life, we are a witness for God. We shine the light of the gospel. Jesus himself says, you are the light of the world. And then you realize that the table of showbread was in the side of the north. To the south was that seven-branch golden lampstand, the lampstand. And then as you went further west towards the most holy place, what was there right by the veil before you entered the most holy place? What was there? No, we're not in the most holy place. We are still in the holy. Yes, the golden altar of incense. Revelation 5:8 told us that the incense was the prayer of the saints. The incense. Those who are sanctified must have, as a matter of fact, sanctification is as the result of studying the word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and also having a consecrated prayer life. And we've been talking about prayer for a little bit here at Elmira. We've had weeks of prayer. We'd studied on the subject of prayer. Prayer is to the Christian life and experience what oxygen is to our existence. So if you are not finding yourself in a serious, personal, sweet prayer relationship with Jesus Christ, you may want to ask whether you're a Christian. Every Christian must have a serious prayer life with God. It's impossible to be a Christian and not to be prayerful. It's an impossibility. Because through prayer, we receive new graces and new strength from God. Amen? And then when you get to now to the most holy place, there was only one piece of furniture there. What was that again? The Ark of the Covenant. Amen? Representing the very throne of God. And the lid, the covering lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. And atop the mercy seat was mounted those cherubim. And then in the midst of those cherubim would appear the Shekinah glory of God. So we can say that God's Ten Commandments in that ark are the foundation of God's throne. And the very base of God's throne is the mercy seat. How merciful is our God. Amen. So as we journey through the sanctuary, we can see that the Sabbath is enshrined in those tables of stone in God's Ark of the Covenant. So when mankind say they are trekking the world, trying to find the Ark of the Covenant, we don't have to go far. We can just stick with the Word of God. Amen? Because we knew what made that Ark of the Covenant important. What made it important were the terms of the covenant. God's Ten Commandment law. And in the heart of God's Ten Commandment law is God's Sabbath commandment. Amen? But you notice you have to be justified out in the courtyard before you could enter the holy place, a place representing sanctification. Only the sanctified gets to see the importance of God's law and God's Sabbath. Amen. Amen. Yes. So the journey through the sanctuary is a transformational experience. Only the saved and the sanctified can see the importance of honoring God by keeping the Sabbath holy. Yes. Another point I want to bring to your view is the Sabbath is a day of rest from all secular thoughts, all secular words, and all secular works. The Sabbath brings a cessation of such. By the way, when does the Sabbath begin? 6 o'clock? Oh, sunset Thursday to sunset Friday. When is the Sabbath? Which day? Every day has sundown to sundown. Which one is the Sabbath? The sixth day, sundown the sixth day to sundown the seventh day. Which is the sixth day? Thursday, Wednesday, Friday. So the Sabbath then is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Is that what you get in your calculation? Yes? Where in the Bible do you get the principle that you have to celebrate the Sabbath from sundown to sundown? Genesis 1? All right, give me a text in Genesis 1 that says you should celebrate the Sabbath sundown to sundown. When you find it, you let me know, because I know you'll be searching for a long time and you won't find it. But Genesis 1 does tell us that the evening and the morning is what constitute a day. It said it for the first and for the second and for the third, for the fourth, for the fifth. It also said it for the sixth, but it didn't say it for the seventh in Genesis chapter 1. Because the Sabbath is brought to view in Genesis chapter 2, the first three verses. And it didn't mention the evening and the morning there. But it's assumed. It's assumed. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1 should end where Genesis 2 verse 3 is. That's where the chapter should end. Well, you know, the chapter wasn't, the lineup of the chapter wasn't a part of inspiration. That was a part of human diligence. But we could be more diligent, amen? Now, when you get to chapter 2, you see the Sabbath there. But there's a text in Leviticus that tells us when we should celebrate Sabbath. It's not the seventh day Sabbath there, by the way. But it mentioned, who knows that Bible text? A text that says we should celebrate the Sabbath from sunset to sunset. Leviticus chapter 23. That's the chapter I tell you want to read on your own to see the Sabbaths. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and verse 32. It says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. This is talking about the Day of Atonement, by the way. It's not the weekly seventh day Sabbath. But that's how all Sabbaths are celebrated. That's how all days are, from sunset to sunset. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Evening to evening. That's the running of a Sabbath. And like I said, that one was the Day of Atonement. From sunset, the ninth day, to sunset, the tenth day. It was the tenth day of the seventh month that was the Day of Atonement. So when the ninth day came and sunsets, a new day begins. So we see that the Sabbath is a rest from all your secular thoughts, words, and works. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Back to Exodus chapter 15. And we will begin in verse 32. Exodus 15 verse 32. No, I'm should be in Exodus 16 verse 32. Let's see where we're at. So Exodus, bitter water made sweet. And then we come to chapter 16. Yeah, so Exodus chapter 16. So this was the whole story of the manna. And when God was telling them, look, I'll send you manna Sunday through Friday. But don't go out on Sabbath morning to look for any. I'm not going to send any. Sunday through Thursday, if you leave any overnight, is going to get stink and breed worms. But on Friday, you're going to pick up enough for Friday and Sabbath. And you're going to leave some overnight Friday. And it's going to be just as fresh on Sabbath morning like on any other day. But if you try it any other night of the week, it was going to be spoiled. So they saw this miracle weekly for 40 years while they're in the wilderness. So here in Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 32. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generation, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came the day, until the day they came to the border of the land of Canaan. So there it was. They would keep it, and it was left there for them as a symbol that God preserves. God preserves. They saw that weekly miracle. I mean, isn't that something? How many of you, especially in these summer months, would like to leave your choicest vegetables outside and not refrigerate them? They go bad really quickly, especially if they're organic, right? They go bad real fast. They don't last. But yet, they had no refrigeration system back there in the wilderness. But their food was preserved on Friday nights. Every Friday night, that food was preserved. And it was fresh on Sabbath morning. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. A New Testament scripture about the Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. And we're beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. There goes the term rest. We're to enter God's rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it, to come short of the rest. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Was the gospel preached in the Old Testament? It's the same gospel. Paul says yes. It was preached to us as well as to them. But what was the problem in the Old Testament times? It says, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And the same is true of today. If we hear the gospel and we do not exercise faith, the gospel will have no meaning to us. The gospel will be powerless for us. It doesn't change us. It doesn't transform us from sinners to be saints if it's not mixed with faith. And then Paul says in verse 3, for we who have believed. And by the way, it's the same word, pistis. It's the same word for belief. It's the same word for faith. For we who have believed, we who have exercised faith, do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's the disobedient. That's the rebellious. They cannot enter God's rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, God says the wicked shall never enter into his rest. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Where did God speak that in a certain place? What was a certain place for that? Genesis 2 verse 2. Genesis 2 verse 2. And again this place, they shall not enter my rest. That's when they tempted God and, you know, they were tried and they were violating God's principle. God says, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, some must enter that rest. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. See? Disobedience robs us of God's blessing. Those to whom it was first preached did not enter because they disobeyed, because of disobedience. Verse 7. Again, he, that's God, designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 8, for if Joshua, you know, Joshua and Jesus is the same term, Yeshua in Hebrew. It's the same word for Jesus, Joshua. Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So when the Sabbath comes around, those who follow God cease from labor, cease from toiling, and rest as God set the example, and he rested on the Sabbath day. You know, today, more and more people are making more and more secular jobs look like they are essential services. We got to take essential services for what they are, just so God named them. Caring for the sick is essential service. The sick must be cared for. Amen? That's essential service. So those who are connected with care for the sick, they're in essential services. Taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. Essential service to support life. But people do all manner of stuff. People work in department stores as clerks. And it has suddenly become essential service. People work in laundromats. And it has suddenly become essential service. There's nothing essential service about working in a laundromat. That's not Sabbath work. That's work for Sunday through Friday before sunset. That's not for Sabbath. Amen? We want to make sure we are following God. We don't want the day of judgment to come upon us as a surprise. Amen? We want to follow God, obey God. A third point I want to bring is that the Sabbath is a day to reflect very seriously upon God's nature, God's creation, and our relationship with God. The Sabbath is a day for such reflection. Take time in to observe God's nature. And I want to share a text in the book of Acts. And this happens to be Paul's experience again. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. It says here in Acts 16, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. Quiet place, you know. We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer, King James Version, it was wont to be made. I read from the New King James Version. We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Amen. A riverside. We can hold church service anywhere. There's no rule that says we must be in a building of this nature to hold a church service. Especially when the weather is nice. Sometimes we should go outdoors. We should take the church outdoors. Amen. We should sometimes. Yes. Reflect upon God's creation. What else should we do on the Sabbath? How do we spend time with our families on the Sabbath? Well, let's take a look at how Jesus and his family, who were his disciples, how did they spend time on the Sabbath? Mark chapter 2. And I want to begin in verse 23. Mark 2, verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields, walking through nature. You know, there was a path through the grain fields, and Jesus was going through nature there on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. See, and people use this one to say, yeah, there it is. Jesus broke the Sabbath. He never did. Jesus kept the Sabbath holy. He was walking, journeying on the mission. And they happened to cut across this grain field. And his disciples, as they went, they plucked some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest. Actually, when you read the story back in 1 Samuel, you're going to see Ahimelech
was the priest named there in Samuel. But they said Abiathar here, the high priest. Anyway, the story was that in the days of the high priest, what David did, how he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest. Only the priest ate those showbread. We just talk about the table of showbread with those 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes there, one for each tribe. Well, you know, the priest baked those showbread on Sabbath morning. It's in Leviticus. That bread was baked on Sabbath morning. And the one from last Sabbath, they would eat. They would remove the one from last Sabbath this week, put the fresh ones on, and then they would eat the one from last week. Only the priest ate that. But here it is that David had need and went to the priest, went to the high priest, you know, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. So Jesus was questioning the Pharisees, how come David did it? And then he gave the point of his answer in verses 27 and 28. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, the Sabbath was made for men. Was the Sabbath made for angels? Does God keep the Sabbath holy? Everybody says yes and amen. God doesn't need to keep Sabbath. Sabbath is a part of God's nature. Holiness is a part of God's nature. It's like I ask people, does God pray? No, God doesn't need to pray. God is God. We make prayers to God. Amen? Yes. And so Jesus says here, the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? Well, I'm going to read something for you here from volume 6 of the testimony, page 356. I want to read something for you. The Sabbath in the home. The Sabbath in the home. Before the setting of the sun, that's what we're talking about, Friday afternoon. Yes, before sun sets and the Sabbath begins. Before the setting of the sun, let the members of the family assemble to read God's word, to sing and pray. Amen. Amen. There is need of reform here, for many have been remiss. We need to confess to God and to one another. We should begin anew to make special arrangements that every member of the family may be prepared to honor the day which God has blessed and sanctified. Amen. Amen? Amen? Sabbath keeping. Then here is what I want to say. Let not the precious hours of the Sabbath be wasted in bed. Amen? Amen. We should come to church with punctuality. We go to work on time, don't we? We go to doctor appointments and all the stuff on time. But yet when it comes to Sabbath school, we show up whenever. Some of us don't even show up for Sabbath school. That is not God's plan. It's not God's plan. Yeah. Let not the precious hours of the Sabbath be wasted in bed. On Sabbath morning, the family should be astir early. If they rise late, there is confusion and bustle in preparing for breakfast and Sabbath school. There is hurrying, jostling, and impatience. Thus, unholy feelings come into the home. The Sabbath, thus desecrated, becomes a weariness, and its coming is dreaded rather than loved. Amen? But sometimes we work so hard in the week, we're tired on the Sabbath. So we sleep in a little bit Sabbath morning. The Sabbath morning is not a time to sleep in. It's time to be astir early. You know one of the sweet things you might want to try? Get up early on Sabbath morning before the rising of the sun. And lock into some prayer and see the difference it makes in your experience. Sweet communion with God. Sweet communion. God wants us to do right. Amen? How about how we should eat on the Sabbath? How much should we eat on the Sabbath? I'm going to read it for you. We should not provide for the Sabbath a more liberal supply or a greater variety of food
than for other days. Instead of this, the food should be more simple and less should be eaten, in order that the mind may be clear and vigorous to comprehend spiritual things. Overeating befogs the brain. The most precious words may be heard and not appreciated, because the mind is confused by an improper diet. By overeating on the Sabbath, many have done more than they think to dishonor God. By the way, you know you should make something special for the Sabbath, especially for children, you know that. Something that they did not have during the week, right? As a matter of fact, let me read it for you. While cooking upon the Sabbath should be avoided, so we shouldn't be cooking the meal on Sabbath. The meal should be cooked on Friday, preparation day. While cooking upon the Sabbath should be avoided, it is not necessary to eat cold food. In cold weather, let the food prepared the day before be heated, and let the meals, though simple, be palatable and attractive. Provide something that will be regarded as a treat, something the family do not have every day. Amen. So this will be special, amen? Amen. But we mustn't eat too much. And it's true. Especially in the American society, we can eat too much food. And I have to watch myself on that, because I'm a good eater, you know? Yes, we can eat too much. And then, you know, we carry the extra pounds. I'm trying to work off the love handles. I don't want any love handle, you know? We got to be temperate in all things. Amen? Amen? And the Sabbath is a time for us to really enjoy. And here's one for the family worship. Still on the Sabbath. At family worship, let the children take a part. Let all bring their Bibles and each read a verse or two. Then let some familiar hymn be sung, followed by prayer. For this, Christ has given a model. The Lord's Prayer was not intended to be repeated merely as a form, but it is an illustration of what our prayer should be. Simple, earnest, comprehensive. Amen. Amen? Yes. God wants us to be stronger in our Sabbath development, the way we spend time. You know, and so we shouldn't be wasting any time of the Sabbath, you know, sleeping it away. Sleep Friday night. Wake up early Sabbath morning and carry on with a strong Sabbath presence. The Sabbath school and the meeting for worship, we're in a meeting for worship now, occupy only a part of the Sabbath. The portion remaining to the family may be made the most sacred and precious season of all the Sabbath hours. Much of this time parents should spend with their children. In many families, the younger children are left to themselves to find entertainment as best they can. Left alone, the children soon become restless and begin to play or engage in some kind of mischief. Thus, the Sabbath has to them no sacred significance. And the final portion I want to read from you. In pleasant weather, let parents walk with their children in fields and groves. Amid the beautiful things of nature, tell them the reason for the institution of the Sabbath. Describe to them God's great work of creation. Tell them that when the earth came from his hand, it was holy and beautiful. Every flower, every shrub, every tree answered the purpose of its creator. Everything upon which the eye rested was lovely and filled the mind with thoughts of the love of God. Every sound was music, in harmony with the voice of God. I tell you to show them all this kind of stuff and let them see. Tell them of the way of salvation, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let the sweet story of Bethlehem be repeated. Present before the children Jesus as a child, obedient to his parents, as a youth, faithful and industrious, helping to support the family. Thus you can teach them that the Savior knows the trials, perplexities, temptations, the hopes and joys of the young, and that he can give them sympathy and help. Volume 6 of the testimonies I shared from. You know, God really wants us to come up higher with our Sabbath keeping. So we can't look to traditionally how my parents or grandparents did it to keep the Sabbath holy. We got to take God at his word. Amen? We got to keep the Sabbath according to God's word. Today, some of you can testify right here. Our children have grown and become adults, and many of them have drifted away from Christ, and they're not a part of the church anymore. If you were to look back, many times there was a mismanagement or a mishandling in the way they were trained. It's true. They become adults and they make their own decisions too. That is also true. But we should do everything in our power as best we can to help them to see the need, the reason, the purpose, the joy of obedience. And so it's no easy work. It calls for prayer. It's prayerful work to really teach and enact the principles of the Sabbath. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation, and it's a sign of our redemption and sanctification. So we're going to sing number 388 to close. Don't forget the Sabbath. The Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest. Of all the week, the best. Our God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for this pleasant, precious Sabbath day. We thank you for the experience of salvation. And we ask that you will give that experience to each of us right now afresh anew. We thank you for doing it, Lord. We ask that you'll transform our lives. Lead us, Jesus, to experience true justification, realizing how wretched we are in and of ourselves, but how blessed we are in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying that atoning death for us upon Calvary. Thank you for giving your life in our place and taking our place that we might live eternally in your place. Thank you, Jesus, for dying and raising from the dead. And thank you for the light that you've given us of the Sabbath, about the Sabbath, and that, Lord, the Sabbath is special holy time that we can get to commune with God and to fellowship with the believers. Bless us then, Lord, to be true Sabbath keepers, and not merely in name, but help us to be transformed from the inside out. Speak to us continually through your word, and help us to be diligent listeners and grace-empowered, obedient disciples of yours. Help us to live out the meaning of our message that you've given to us to live and to give to the world. Help us to live out the message ourselves, Lord. Have thine own sweet way in our lives. Please forgive our sins. And Lord, I lift up every family represented here before you. You know, some are concerned about their adult children that have drifted. We pray that you'll bring those children back and that they too will bring their families with them. Those who have joined the church and their children never grew up in the ranks of the remnant, we pray that you will touch their hearts as well, Lord, and bring them in to see that this is a message for this time, and they need to stand up in Christ and live for you. In the end, Lord, we'll be judged by those same 10 commandments. They are beneath the ark. They are in the ark beneath your mercy seat. So, Lord, we know that we'll have to meet them in the judgment. Help us then by your grace to love you, and in loving you, Lord Jesus, it will bring the fruit of obedience. Thank you for speaking to us today. Cleanse our sin. And as we go from this worship service to fellowship time, may we remember to only speak, to only think about, and to only do the things that honor you and are in respect of the Sabbath day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.